I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
We are exactly 1 week from the start of baseball's winter meetings here in San Diego. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, and I don't think we need to wait any longer. We don't need to build it up. We told you last week we'd have a special announcement. Let's just get right to it, Woods. Next week, we've already told you we'll be broadcasting live from the lobby of the winter meetings, downtown San Diego. What we did not tell you is that we're shifting our hours for the week. We will be broadcasting live from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. each morning from the winter meeting. So you get to sleep in a few more minutes.
Well, I got a longer drive
That's
now.
That's true.
So it all
eats into it a little bit.
Come out of the wash.
But then Coach John Quintero will take over from 10 until 2. And at 2 o'clock, Gwynn and Chris will do 4 hours from 2 to 6. So we will be live and local from the winter meetings constantly during the week.
Which I love the move. I love that move because we're a baseball station. We're a baseball show. It's where we cut our teeth. It's in the great game of baseball. San Diego Padres being here, the winter meetings being in San Diego. That's what we're going to do. And I get a little bit of extra sleep. Being here, being on the air till 10 is going to feel like noon after being off at 9, but I'm okay with it, man. I'll probably end up hanging around down there and just hanging out with some friends that'll be down there anyway. It's going to be a blast. My first winter meetings, I'm ecstatic. And you guys will have really good coverage from 97.3 The Fan.
Now, I don't know that there's going to be tons of breaking news. The last couple of years, the winter meetings have been fairly uneventful.
Yes.
However, think of it like Super Bowl week. There's no big news the week of the Super Bowl. You're just getting ready for a game. It's all about who's there. And everyone in baseball is at the winter meetings. It's really more than the World Series. Everyone in baseball, from the top level guys, GMs, agents, even players, will show up, down to assistants, minor league guys, people, interns who are trying to get jobs in other organizations. Everyone shows up. You don't want to miss the winter meeting. So it'll be it'll just be kind of the happening, and the people we'll run into, get to talk to. I think it's going to make it fascinating, whether or not the Padres make another big move, you know, in the next couple of weeks, or Steven Strasburg signs or Garrett Cole signs. I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend downtown.
Yeah, John Boy will be down at the winter meetings, we found out. We'll definitely try to grab him and throw him on again. He had a great breakdown of Tom Brady last night. Go follow him on Twitter at John Boy.
He did a Padres one yesterday.
Yeah, he did the Padres Braves fight years ago. That was really, really well done. I know my man John Boggs is going to be down there. Of course, he's Cole Hamels' agent, among others, so we'll definitely grab him. There's going to be a ton of guys down there. I can't wait.
All right, reminder, breaking news on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the midsize Metros from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Breaking news. Saw Garrett Cole at Starbucks down the street.
You did not, Ben. Don't lie.
Now, I'm trying to understand. Was this a bit? Or was Garrett Cole really in San Diego this weekend?
It's both.
If you spent some time on Twitter, maybe you gave it up for Thanksgiving and actually spent time with family. So good for you. If you didn't, you saw people tweeting their sightings, quote unquote, of Garrett Cole all weekend long in San Diego, and I couldn't figure out whether was he really in town, or is this just Padres fans wishful thinking, having some fun with people? What was going on, Woods?
All right, so the first one I saw 15 hours ago was from a girl named Skylar at Pods for Life, L-Y-F-E. And it says, Garrett Cole was at La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club today. What are your thoughts? Is he coming to check out his new home? So I retweeted it and quote tweeted it and said, Padres, announce Garrett Cole, please. kind of as a joke. But then, you know, it kind of caught on, and people said, oh, I saw him at here. And I tweeted, you know, oh, I saw him at playing Baccarat at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from Petco Park. I mean, you could go sit down, have a meeting with Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler, get in your car, go to 7 Mile Casino, because it is 7 minutes, and play Baccarat.
We've tested it.
And so that was the first one I'd seen. So I DM'd this girl, and I said, hey, you probably got 1,000 of these. Is this accurate? She goes, oh, yeah, he was here today. Now, through extensive research, I found out a couple of things. Again, I don't know if they're true or not. I heard.
This is radio.
This
doesn't
is radio.
Really
it does not matter. Since when does accuracy matter in sports radio? Like, I'm looking at Colin Cowherd's picks. Yeah, he was like 0 for 4 yesterday. So that guy makes like $50 million a year. All right? So accuracy is not the most important thing. What I did see a picture of him yesterday that somebody snuck surreptitiously at some store in La Jolla. Now, here's the deal. If we lived in Kansas City and Garrett Cole was here in the dead of winter, that would be a story. We happen to live in a very popular destination city, America's finest. In fact, this is a place where a lot of people would come for Thanksgiving, a lot, especially a kid from Southern California. I'd also heard that his parents, a guy said in this thread, yeah, his parents are members there. I worked a party of his one time. So maybe it's Thanksgiving. He's here with his old lady. He's hanging out. They're in La Jolla because who wouldn't want to be in La Jolla for Thanksgiving, even though it was pouring rain? So it may not mean anything. In fact, it probably doesn't.
La Jolla
mean
is also
anything.
Like maybe an hour and 20 minutes from the place where he's been most rumored
correct.
To be signing this offseason, and that is in Anaheim with the Los Angeles Angels. So it wouldn't be stunning that he would be back somewhere in Southern California. The winter meet are coming up next week.
Now, I don't know if you're a free agent of Garrett Cole's caliber. Do you feel you need to walk the winter meetings
no,
and shake hands?
Unless you're
and kiss
signing
maybes?
And doing like a big news conference.
That could be it as well.
Which is possible as well.
Now, again, I would say with almost 100% certainty, Garrett Cole was in San Diego over the weekend. What it means to the Padres and Padre fans, probably nothing.
Well, and that brings us back to the news that did break on Wednesday, our final day before the Thanksgiving break. Both the trade, you know, the Luis Urias trade, which we talked extensively about, but also the signing of Drew Pomeranz, which at the time seemed more of a throw-in move. And then after the show was over, we learned really, well, not quite as throw-in as we thought. He's getting a good chunk of change, $34 million guaranteed over 4 years to become, you know, a left-handed anchor along with Kirby Yates in the Padres bullpen. But when you kind of do the math, and I know a lot of people did over the weekend, you add Drew Pomeranz's salary into the figures the Padres have already committed to for 2020, you get to a payroll of about $140 million, which is right around the league average, which is what, you know, kind of the whispers have been out of the Padres front office. Hey, we're looking at around a league average payroll this season. So you take that, there's really no room to sign not only a Garrett Cole, who's going to make somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million a year, but even lesser guy, you know, a free agent who's not going to spend, you know, be that expensive, a $15 million guy.
A Jonathan VR at second base for $11 million or whatever.
Does this mean, Woods, in your mind, that the Padres, unless they can move, you know, like a Will Myers contract and shed a lot of salary, are they really done on the free agent market for this offseason?
They better not be. I mean, that's my honest assessment as a fan and as somebody that covers the team on the radio. They better not be. This better not be it. It can't be.
Now, they can make trades.
Absolutely.
They can still improve the roster, the 40-man, the 25-man through trades, but any other free agent signings are going to push that payroll up into levels that we certainly don't expect the Padres to be spending $160 to $70 million on their payroll next year.
Well, it'd be nice if they did. So, of course, listen, Buster Olney clearly, look, at this point, Buster is a really good baseball guy. He is. He knows his business. He knows his game. He had a bad experience here in San Diego. It's pretty obvious. And as somebody that lives a lot of their life, you know, with sour grapes as well, I can understand it somewhat. But he pounds the pods at every move. So he tweets this. Agents have been saying there have been robust conversations with teams, and the Drew Pomeranz deal is proof of that. for 2.5 months of strong bullpen work. He gets $34 million over 4 years from the Padres. Some rival evaluators are in shock. Good for him. On July 16th, Then he talks about Pomeranz deal underscores how good the Rays have been at building their bullpens. Tampa Bay ranked number one in bullpen ERA. Its entire bullpen combined made less money than Pomeranz's signing bonus of $8 million. So I don't understand, first of all, why you celebrate a team for being cheap. Okay, yes, it's a remarkable accomplishment to have the number one bullpen.
You actually criticize the Padres.
Yes.
For both being too cheap and for spending too much money.
Right. It's like pick your side. Like which
some people do want to hammer the Padres for both directions.
That's Buster Olney.
They're too cheap and they spend way too much money.
Do it like the Rays do it and do it on the cheap. Okay? But also spend money to get good players. And listen, I will be one of those guys that will say, I tweeted out when I saw the 4-year deal. I tweeted out, seriously? Because I was surprised it was a 4-year deal. Then when kind of the financials roll in, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's a good signing bonus. That's important.
A.J. Preller told, I believe, A.J. Casuville that he thought that was the difference maker getting the deal done, that 4th year. Other teams were offering 3 at slightly maybe more per year. Padres guaranteed that 4th year, and they thought that's what got Drew Pomeranz to sign his name to the dotted line.
And kudos to A.J. Preller for doing that. You know, I know last year the Yankees were in the mix for Patrick Corbin. I believe he signed a 5-year deal. He signed a 6-year deal. The Yankees were offering 5, and guess what? He won a World Series with the Nationals. So giving that extra year while you're in this window of the next couple of years of trying to make a run, I have no problem with it.
Now,
really
I'm not going to say, you know, there's certainly the question, is that where you wanted to allocate your resources?
Right.
You've got other holes to fill, not necessarily a secondary bullpen guy getting that much money. So I think the argument, you know, it's fair to pick apart the decision to sign Drew Pomeranz and say, all right, that's a significant offseason move. You've got other holes to fill. Why that move in particular? What I don't like, though, and this has happened both to the Padres and other organizations in the past, Woods, there's no point in hitting the free agent market and finishing second in every guy you go after.
Right.
Hey, we made a really competitive offer. We got outbid at the last minute by the Yankees. We made a great offer. We got outbid by the Dodgers or by the Cubs. And say at the end of the year, hey, we were active. We were in on all these guys. We didn't get any, but hey, look at this commitment that we offered all this money. It doesn't do you any good to finish second. So the Padres decided, hey, we want Drew Pomeranz.
Let's go get him.
Let's finish first.
And they did.
And just sign him. And they did. All right, we'll see what they do from here and fill out some of those other holes in the roster. Because they still got holes. They still need a second baseman, I think. They need another bat in the outfield. They need another pitcher, and they still have some work to do this offseason.
They do, and you know, you're talking about dumping money, and you're just not going to be able. You know, there are guys that you'd probably love to get rid of some of their salary, and I wonder. You know, Will Myers owed $60 million or something over the next 3 years. Who's going to pick up that, and how much? What are they going to pick up? 15.
Okay. And how much is it going to cost you in prospects to do so?
Right. I mean, it's a hole, and you either roll with Will Myers and pay him $20 million a year and hope to God and cross your fingers that he can regain his rookie of the year
form. New coaching
staff,
new manager, you know, something gets him in the right headspace, or you bite the bullet and you eat a couple of prospects and you eat some cash to try to save some cash on the back end. And that's the decision I think A.J. Preller is going to be thinking about all offseason.
Well, and we've said it, you know, from the jump, is that I'm not envious of A.J. Preller at all, because he does, while he has a ton of capital to work with, I don't know how hard it would be to pull the trigger on a trade for a guy and giving up, you know, big prospects. You've nurtured those guys, you fostered those guys, you believe in those guys, but at some point you can't keep them all. And I'm not envious at all of where he is right now and the moves that he has to make. I think the catching position needs to be shored up. I think center field / outfield needs to be shored up. And I know second base needs to be shored up.
Woodsy, we got a lot to get to. We'll get into some football talk, NFL coming up. Also, a wild weekend in college football.
Unbelievable.
Well, that Iron Bowl was sensational.
Unbelievable.
The Aztecs game, the result was really nice. The process of watching it wasn't quite as...
Your tweet Made me laugh so hard. So
the
hard.
First down change.
Yes. So hard.
I think the Aztecs do have a problem in football. I'm going to try to solve it when we come back. It's Ben and Woods. Let's get our first check of traffic this morning on 97.3 The Fan. Say hello to Kelly Danick. Ben Woods coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll be joined by our NFL senior writer, Eric Adelson. Go through week 13 of the NFL season yesterday. There's some good games.
Yeah.
Definitely in the NFL. Had a potential Super Bowl preview between the Ravens and 49ers.
That's awesome. What a game.
In the rain. A lot of weather, which always is fun this time of year. You get games in December now. So we'll talk some NFL football coming up. Paul, you're a San Diego State alum, giant fan. There's nothing better as a San Diego State fan than beating BYU, right? BYU. That's like, hey, take down the Cougars. Everyone likes that. I was cheering for the Aztecs.
I was much
on
more
Saturday
happy with
night.
The basketball win a few weeks ago over BYU.
Yeah,
than
I mean,
a football win.
And I watched, and yeah, I mean, they got the job done. The defense played great on Saturday night at SDCCU Stadium. Got a 13-3 win over the Cougars. It's a hard watch. It's not that entertaining of football. And I'm sorry to say that because I know how many times have we said, Woods, hey, wins. You just get wins is the most important thing. That's what we're craving here in San Diego. We're craving wins.
Yeah.
However you can get them. Rocking Long wins. He wins every season. He takes his team to a bowl game every season. And yet we are increasingly dissatisfied with his product. Year after year.
It's an easy argument. You know, if you're a massive Aztecs fan, and feel free to call us if you are and tell us we're wrong, 833-288-0973. I style points don't matter in the NFL. You got 16 games. Doesn't matter if you win by 40 or if you win by one, okay? At the end of the day, what matters is your one-loss record. It's not the same in college. It's just not. It's not the same. And watching a 13-3 game, a 10-6 game, whatever it may be, you're right. It's not that exciting a brand of football. Now, their defense is one of the best in the country. That is great, and that is exciting.
Rocky went on to say maybe the best defense he's ever coached.
Which is incredible.
I mean, Rocky's coached a lot of good defenses.
He's coached a lot of good defenses, Benny, and that is something to hang your hat on if you are an Aztecs fan. No one is trying to rain on your parade. No one. I mean, it is an accomplishment. It is something to be very proud of. But listen, at the end of the day, it's not an exciting football product. And I think, you know, once the stadium is up and running and functional, you can't run that kind of offense out in that new stadium because you want asses in the seats. And listen, going into a season knowing, hey, we could win every game 100-0 and still not, you know, be in the hunt for a national title, that's kind of deflating. It is. I saw a great tweet this weekend by a guy that I have railed against a little bit. Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd tweeted about Harbaugh and Michigan. And I loved this. He said, Harbaugh will have 10 wins if they win a bowl. That's what Michigan is, has been forever. It's Texas football, just north. Great school, cool tradition, legendary players, college town. One natty in 25 years, and its primary rival, Ohio State and Oklahoma, respectively. They're just historically better. And I think... You know, my buddies texted, I was texting my dad over the weekend. He goes, another 10-win season for Brian Kelly. And I go, so what? That's where I'm at. I'm over the 10-win season. I'm over the Cheez-It Bowl. You know, it's got to be bigger. You have to, if you're San Diego State, you've got to win the Mountain West.
And I don't think I'm the one driving this reaction. I think a lot of Aztecs fans feel the same way.
I think they do too.
I'm seeing it out there. I mean, you know, right. Attendance is so-so. TV ratings are almost non-existent. And I don't think they need to be, you know, the Oregon fast-paced run a play every 5 seconds and try to put up 55 points on the board. What bothers me is that with the defense the Aztecs had this year, if they just had a flat, dead, average college football offense, they'd probably be 12-0 right now.
Yeah.
Going to the Mountain West Championship game with a chance to play in the Cotton Bowl. you know.
Which is a big
deal. Which would be a program mover. Not if they had one of the better offenses of football. I'm talking flat dead average. They could just score 24, 25 points. They could be undefeated right now. And that bothers me a little bit.
Sound like a baseball player, you know, maybe? Place here? Sound familiar?
It does. This is the Austin Hedges syndrome.
Yeah, it's the syndrome.
So here's my solution for Rocky
Austin
Long.
Austin Hedges, giant loser.
If he's listening on his way in this morning to
cursing you right
Montezuma now. Mason. No, he's going to love my solution.
Okay.
Lean into it. Instead of changing everything up, I've heard Rocky say 100 times, if he said it once, toughest offense to stop in America is the triple option. But I can't run it because it's too boring. The boosters would never let me do it. It's just, it's too backwards. But it's so hard to stop. If I could, if I had my way, we'd run the triple option. You know what? Your offense couldn't be any more boring. Go ahead and run the triple option. Recruit a quarterback who's a great athlete, who can run, who can throw it. It doesn't really matter.
Man.
Win football games.
I disagree.
Go 12-0. Get to one of those bowl games, prove you can do it, and then in a couple of years you get to retire and someone else can put in some different offense and figure it out. But you've told me a million times, hey, I'd run the triple option if I could. The boosters will never let me do it. They want to see passing. They're not seeing it now. You have the most dull offense in college football. Just lean into it. Run the triple option like your Army or your Georgia Tech
Navy.
From the 90s. Navy. Just lean into it and do it all.
I could not disagree more. I honestly, God, I could. I think that a team like San Diego State needs more flash. And to get that, Benny, that offense has to be full-on air raid. And I mean Texas Tech, you know, when Cliff Kingsbury was the quarterback. Oh, Kingsbury throws for 700 yards. Dude, it put Tech on the map. I mean, it really did. And that can do... With Rocky's defensive mind, you go out and you hire the next young Cliff Kingsbury to recruit some kid, by the way, that goes, all right, I could go to USC and be third on the depth chart. I could go to Cal. I could go to all these places and be third on the depth chart. I could go to San Diego State and sling it in this beautiful new stadium 70 times a game. I'm in. Where do I sign? Right? Like, bring that. Because I'll tell you what, on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock, going to watch an offense put up 800 yards, I'm in. I am in. You got me. I'm sold.
All right, how about a first down chain? Every time you get a first down, guy comes to the sideline, they put
chain
over his neck. It's like, wow, you got 10 yards. Here's your chain for your offensive player.
You killed me with your tweet over the weekend when you were watching this game, and I'm going to pull it up for you guys to hear because this got me. It was, man. It's a little bit watching grass grow a little bit. Ben Higgins tweets... Damn it. Where are you?
I said...
there you go.
You want me to read
it? Yeah,
you
read it.
It says, the first down chain just got tangled in the SDSU-BYU game. Actually, one of the more exciting moments.
Yeah. And that... I mean, again, and I understand you can say, hey, listen, bowl game, win. Okay, great. What is the next step? How do you change it? How do you become more dynamic?
I'm here for the change, whatever happens.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I love the defense. I love the winning. I want one more step. Take that last step.
Yeah, it is one more step that they need.
I do want to see an Iron Bowl. I want to see that Auburn, Alabama. I want to see something like that here in San Diego.
That was
again.
Exciting, man. That was exciting. It was unbelievable. And you know, Alabama, watching that game, I've never seen an Alabama team make that many mistakes ever. I've never seen a Bama team more unfocused. But talk about an exciting football game. They're slinging it all over the field. All over the field. Beautiful.
We'll get to more football. We'll get to some more Aztecs basketball. Huge weekend for San Diego State. And maybe more good things coming today. We'll let you know about that a little bit later. Next, though, Eric Adelson, our NFL senior writer. He's going to join us. We had a couple of big games in Week 13. We got 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, Raiders. Raiders have fallen apart.
That was fun while it lasted.
Another embarrassing loss for the L.A. Chargers as well. And the Rams may be back on track after their win in Arizona. Get to all of that next right here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Going to be giving away a $40 gift certificate to Hooters coming up. Any San Diego Hooters location in real or fake. You can beat or tie Woods in just about 10 minutes here on Ben and Woods. About to chat with our NFL senior writer, Eric Adelson. Go back through week 13 of the NFL season, all the way back to the three Thanksgiving games. Right now, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Woods, there's a meme that was coming out yesterday. I retweeted it. So funny. It's a storm and a street and water is flowing down and these two trash cans are just being carried away. One, they're just slowly rolling away. One's gray, one's green. The gray one's just in front of the gray one. It says the Cowboys and Eagles racing for the top spot in the NFC East.
What an awful, awful division that is. Holy crap.
They could both lose out, I think. And the Cowboys could cruise into the playoffs at 6-10. Or something like that at this point. And joining us right now to talk all anything NFL, our senior writer, Eric Adelson, back with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Good Monday morning to you, Eric. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Yes, good morning. Great to be on with you guys.
I don't know why I want to start with the bad stuff, but I guess that's just more comical to me how poorly the Cowboys and Eagles seem to be playing here in the second half of the season, just outdoing each other every week.
Well, we might have a division winner with dead coach walking. I can't remember the last time that we've had that. I mean, they are the best team in that division, and the Eagles just can't get it together, losing to the Dolphins. By the way, the Dolphins are actually a pretty good story. But the Cowboys, they're right there. And again, and I've said this on the show every week, and I look more and more wrong every week, but I really feel like with Zeke and with Dak and with that offensive line, they could stun some people in the playoffs. They just have to get it together. And I don't know. They're just not buying into Garrett at all. But do you really need that? They have a good offensive coordinator. Their defensive coordinator is pretty good. I'm just waiting for them to get – you know what? I feel that way about the Eagles. They have the quarterback of their dreams. And they still have also a very good offensive line. But it's just, they just outdo each other with this abysmal play where you look for something, some silver lining, and you get a lump of coal. And not only that, but it's not that they're not just failing to improve. They're getting worse. I mean, they're getting worse as the season goes on. And it's really one of the more stunning, aggravating, bang your head against the wall divisions I've ever witnessed.
We're talking to Eric Adelson, senior NFL writer here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Eric, lots of embarrassing losses. I think a lot of teams were embarrassed yesterday. I mean, you could look at the Raiders who. You know, a couple of weeks ago, hey, they're right in it. You can look at the Jets getting beaten by the Bengals. In your opinion, what was the most caught? I mean, the Chargers, again, losing a rookie quarterback, no Von Miller. I mean, brutally, brutally embarrassing loss for them. Out of all of those, which one hurt which team the most, do you think?
Man, well, I think the Jets was kind of a stunner because it looked like the Jets finally were pulling it together. And then they lay an egg. And you say the same about the Raiders. I would say those two are 1-2, because when you just don't show up, then at this late in the season, especially, clunkers happen early in the year when they're trying to figure out all the pieces. But we're in December now, and just to have that kind of performance, it really makes you question about the whole direction that the team is going in, especially with the Jets, because I really was bullish on the Jets at the beginning of the year. But when you look at Gase's inability to get any kind of momentum, and then now look at Miami, look at Ryan Tannehill, you really have to wonder if that's a one-and-done coach. Because where's the spark? Where's the value added? They have Darnold now. Hell, they have Le'Veon Bell. They have a pretty good defense. They have a pretty good secondary. But they play like that. I don't know how you make a case to keep Gase.
Let's not undersell the L.A. Chargers loss in Denver either.
It was incredible.
They had an extra week to prepare for a quarterback who has never started. They did not have to face Von Miller. They got Derwin James back, and they still couldn't beat the Denver Broncos. I mean, that Anthony Lynn, that he has had such a bad season. Phillip Rivers has had such a bad season. I don't know if they're going to clean house, what they're going to do moving into a new stadium next year, but that really was an awful loss for the Chargers.
Yeah, you know, I'm always a Chargers apologist on the show, and I don't have to be. I know, and you guys give me carte blanche to dump on the Chargers, but I'm gonna draw this out one more week. I just think that you know, getting Derwin back is great, but first game back in there, it's tough. On the road is a place. I mean, they're always on the road. We talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago about Phillip Rivers and what his future is. And I think that that's a really valid question. But it seems like this is sort of a star-struck team from the very beginning with the injuries, with the holdouts, and then a little bit of a hangover coming off a very good year. I'm still a Chargers believer until I'm wrong. And I'm almost giving them a whole season as a mulligan. I know that's a terrible thing to do in the NFL where you don't get mulligans for even a week. But I still want to see them healthy and with a little bit of an easier schedule next year. And I feel like there's not going to be this cascade of angry Charger fans coming at me because they're not showing up at the stadium either. So they're probably not going to be mad enough to get upset with me.
No, they'll come after you because they don't even like anybody saying they believe. Like,
I'll give them a mulligan on the move to L.A. if they want a mulligan on that.
Yeah,
I don't know about this season.
So, but. Eric, I actually, you know, after a rough morning – with the betting, I was chasing it a little bit yesterday, and I thought, well, just like Ben said, you got savvy veteran Phillip Rivers, you got Derwin James coming back, you're taking on Drew Lock, he's never played in the NFL before, no Von Miller, five and a half point spread, that's easy money. Our listeners were mad at me for even betting on the Chargers yesterday, so just know they're going to come after you anyway. I'm just trying to make their money spends too, but. They just seem to find new ways to lose every single week. It's almost comical at this point, and I do feel bad for the hardcore Charger fans. But when I watch, I've never seen anything like it, ever. Never seen anything like this.
Yeah, no, you have to point the finger, I think, at Lynn to some extent, because Rivers also. I mean, I'm not telling you guys you don't already know. Rivers just doesn't seem focused. He just seems easily upset, and he's always sort of had that side of his personality.
Yeah.
But at some point, somebody has to either talk to him or talk to Anthony Lynn and just say, you know, hey, listen, these are games we need to win, and we're not winning them because we're killing ourselves. And if that isn't fixed, it doesn't matter what they have in terms of the talent.
Yep.
Because if you have a quarterback, everybody looks for the quarterback, especially that kind of veteran quarterback, and if he's just constantly upset, then I think you get tentative. And this might be beginning to happen with the Patriots offense, too, where every single look, every single camera angle on Brady, it's just he's so disappointed in everybody around him. And I think that there's a point where that stops motivating and starts just sort of deflating, so to speak, with the Patriots. And I'm not sure where that point is. I'm never going to doubt the Patriots. I'm never going to doubt Tom Brady. But that just seems like a team in a funk. And when the quarterback always looks like he's disappointed in everyone, I think that kind of bleeds into the rest of the team at some point.
They're putting up 51 in the divisional round of the playoffs. Just calling my shot right now.
Who, the Pats? Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
I just know it. Let me ask you about Ravens against 49ers. I'm actually kind of glad that game was played in a driving rainstorm, because if it is a Super Bowl preview, I hate kind of already knowing what happened. Like, when the Chargers played the 49ers in the Super Bowl, they had played the last month and just got obliterated, and you knew, oh, it's probably going to happen again. You don't really know, because of the weather, who was the better team in that game. It was close. It was competitive. What was your takeaway from Ravens 49ers?
Well, I think the last time the Super Bowl was in Miami was a driving rainstorm. I think it was Colts Bears. And so don't rule that out again. I was so impressed with the Ravens. Actually, you know what? With both teams, I was impressed with the Ravens because they won in this sort of blood sport way. Lamar Jackson had a couple of good runs, but they really had to grit it out, and then they had to manufacture points. And they did it. They did it in kind of a different way for them, and I think that. I mean, if you look at their resume, they've beaten the Patriots. They've destroyed the Texans. they really kind of beat up on the Patriots, too. I believe they beat the Seahawks. Now they beat the Niners. They have a fantastic resume. They need to be the Browns. I don't know what is up with that. I mean, that sort of that needs its own documentary. That
yeah, it's that one. It's that one stumble. They beat the Rams too. I mean, they've beaten some really good teams. They are. I'll tell you, man, they are a really, really fun team to watch. I mean, who would have thunk it? Baltimore.
They are.
You know, it's special.
Yeah. And so much. I mean, so much more fun than the. I mean, they've had two championship teams with Ray Lewis, and those teams are the sort of defense first.
Yep.
You know, not as fun. Certainly, great football. You know, Ed Reed. But not exciting. And this is an exciting team. But I'll also say this: I think that you finally have a blueprint for Lamar Jackson. It didn't work in terms of winning the game, but I think he had less than 100 passing yards. It's almost like okay, he's gonna gash you for these highlight reel runs. But if you can keep him from finding Marquise Brown, from finding the tight ends consistently, then you can stay in the game to the end, and maybe they make a mistake. I mean, I think that that's kind of the best plan for beating that team. And he was frustrated, too. That's the most frustrated I've seen as a pro,
yeah.
Except against the Chargers. The Chargers last year, he was almost, like, stunned. But Lamar Jackson seemed like he was beating up on himself a little bit on the sideline rather than putting on the shades and waiting for the next drive. And so I feel like, if you're the Niners, you're like, you know what? We can definitely beat that team on a neutral field. And if the Ravens, you could say, well, we can win any type of game that we're in. And so I kind of – you never want to discount the Patriots ever or the Seahawks because those teams have been there. But I feel like those are the best two teams in the league.
Eric, good stuff as always. Final quarter of the season is coming up. Look forward to enjoying the December with you each Monday. Thanks for your time.
All right. Have a great week.
Eric Adelson, our senior NFL writer. If you want to dial up now, take on Woods in a game of real or fake. Start dialing 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Hammer will take the third caller. Get you hooked up for our game here in a minute or so. We've got one game left this week, Monday Night Football. It's the Vikings and the Seahawks. And Woodsy, the Rams are in a weird position where they actually are probably cheering for their division rival.
Yes.
This week, because if the Seahawks at 9-2 lose, then both the Vikings and the Seahawks are 9-3, and they're two games out of a wild card spot. The Seahawks win, the Rams are just a game behind the Vikings with four games left to play. They can still see a path to the playoffs after their win yesterday over the Arizona Cardinals. So you actually have to be a Seahawks fan if you're a Rams fan tonight on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's all about who gets you there. You know what I mean?
I just think they're in trade. If they're two back with four to play of two teams,
yep,
that's going to be tough. But you've got a shot if you're just a game back
to
the Vikings. Game is in Seattle, so we'll see. But that should be a good Monday Night Football game tonight.
I'm looking forward to it.
To wrap up Week 13. All right, let's waste no more time. Let's get to it. Let's play a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
As I mentioned, we got a $40 gift card to any San Diego County Hooters location. Get yourself some wings, head on down, watch some sports. Real or Fake brought to you by your San Diego Honda dealers. The Happy Honda Day sales event is on now. Visit Honda Dealers, SDHondaDealers.com. Let's see who we've got on the line today. We got Kevin up in Escondido ready to play our game. Kevin, good morning. You know how to play Real or Fake?
Yes, I do. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Drop my pen. All right, Kevin, I will give you today's category, and Woods can start right now. December is here. Happy holidays to all, no matter how you celebrate. Today on Real or Fake, I'll be testing your knowledge of a well-known Christmas song. At least the first few verses are well-known. I'll give you a song lyric. You have to tell me if it's one of the real 12 Days of Christmas or a fake I've added to fool you. Ready, Woods?
I'm ready.
Princess Prancing, real or fake?
Fake.
Correct. Kevin's just that easy. Kevin, Merry Minstrels, real or fake?
Fake.
Correct.
Wow.
Woodsy, round two. All right, 1-1. Swans A-Swimming, real or fake?
Real.
Yeah, seven of them in the song. All right, 2-1. Kevin, round two. Ladies Dancing, real or fake, Kevin?
Real.
Nine of them, correct. All right, 2-2. All right, round three. Woods, Doves A-Cooing, real or fake?
Fake.
Very good. 3-2. Kevin, keep up the pace. Lords a-leaping, Kevin. Real or fake?
That's real.
10 of them. You guys know your Christmas songs. All right, round four.
Isn't this all just one song, though?
It is. That's true. Round four, Woodsy. Piper's piping. Real or fake?
Crap. Fake.
There's 11 of them. All right, Kevin, you got a chance to take a lead here.
I usually never get that far, Ben.
Kevin, drummers drumming. Real or fake?
That's real.
It's 12 of them. Correct. Woods, last round. Children laughing.
Fake.
That's fake. And Kevin, final one. Maids a milking. Real or fake, Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go 9 maids a milk.
There's 8, actually, 8. But we didn't ask you for the number. A perfect 5 for 5. Kevin, you are the winner of today's edition of Real or Fake and the $40 gift card to Hooters. Congratulations. Thanks for playing, Kevin.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, good, easy one to start the month on.
Anybody else getting ear-effed at home by their wife and Christmas music? Anybody?
No.
It's time now. I mean, yeah, 2 weeks ago was a little early. Now it's fine. It's time.
What? Can't you just do it the week of?
Been playing a lot of one of our sister stations, though.
I'm getting killed. I'm getting every. You get in the car and it's Christmas music. You get home and it's Christmas music. It's Christmas music always. I'm not even a Grinch.
We got our tree yesterday.
We got our tree too. It's 3 feet tall. We let Bo pick.
Oh,
it
no,
up.
We got an 8-footer.
You got a big one.
Yeah,
picked a bow size.
Yeah, bow size Christmas tree. I'm not a Grinch. I swear to God, I just don't want to hear Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus is coming.
We do have to bring back, though, this month.
Oh, my God.
I know. Trust me. I already know when we're going to do it.
Like 3 times.
I know when we're going to do it. I know when we're going to do it.
We're all going to fall on our knees laughing.
Yes. Oh, holy night.
Later this month.
The special version is coming up in about 3 weeks.
If you were with us at the old station, it may be one of my favorite days of the entire year.
It's the best.
I'm going to get that guy's number again.
I don't even think we need to talk to him again.
We just play the interview from last year.
Play the interview, but listen, you have to hear this, and we'll play that for you on the 20th. 18-day tease.
All right.
On the 20th. 18 days from now.
It's the long tease.
Long tease.
It is the long tease.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. We got a lot to get to, a second half of our show. We're going to talk to a guy in Milwaukee to find out more about what the Padres got in their big trade.
I like this.
San Diego State basketball. Talk about that as well. Don't do this. The first edition of the week. It is just ahead. Ben and Woods, half the show still to go on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.